Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around this beautiful planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express is to support you, yes, you, becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In this episode, we're going to do a deep dive on one key, super common frustration of us masculine-cored, heroic husbands around the planet is our frustration with, very often, the lack of discipline we perceive in our queens, in our goddesses, in our beautiful wives. This is ridiculously common as a frustration. It's one of these often unspoken frustrations in the background that in men's groups, I've seen it and in one-on-one coaching, where it's just, you know, it takes a little bit of settling into full trust where a guy feels fully safe that he's allowed to just dump out any judgments he holds, you know, against his wife, where, you know, just that you emptied the bucket. And in those moments, you know, more guys will go, ah, like when the penny drops and they're like, ah, okay, so the exercise is to really just put it all out. They'd be like, man, I can't cope with like how she's just like, she's slobby, she's lazy, she procrastinates all the time, she eats too much, she never works out, she makes crap use of her time, she wastes time looking at TV, etc., etc. There can be this really, really intense bugbear inside of us that she's not getting her shit in order. And this can be so poisonous and corrosive to the connection we feel with our women when there's this level of charge. And so often, we don't speak it. We do the nice guy thing. We'll sort of comment to it. We think we don't like call them out completely directly on it. We try to just put up a positive outlook. We try to put up and shut up and get on with it. We'll mention it the odd time, but nothing really changes. But even if we're not speaking to it, there's a ton, 90% of all communications are non-verbal. That 90%, we're sort of hammering her. She's picking it up. In today's episode, it's another beautiful, courageous, vulnerable, radically honest voice message I've received in. And I really love this format, guys. Again, I put it out there at the bottom of every podcast description going forward. You're going to have the opportunity to send me a direct voice message, and within which you can describe what is your number one struggle in marriage. And I will prepare, prepare a personalized response to support you in the situation. Today's message comes in from another amazing, potent, heroic husband out there who's been listening in diligently. His name is Andy. Andy's voice message to me, pretty much verbatim, is: the big struggle in marriage, in my case, is a frustration in her lack of growth in any way. If I do self-development like meditation or exercise, she wouldn't do it herself. She always has excuses. She says she never has enough time for it and moans about that a lot. But actually wastes time in so many ways. 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, wasting time doing something unnecessary. To me, it's absolute insanity. Because there are plenty of chances, and I'm working my arse off doing stuff, trying to fit things in, so it's like complete opposites. We're like chalk and cheese in mindsets about respecting time and making the most of it. The way I deal with it is just get on with what I have to do, and at some point, she might just want to copy it. Andy, first and foremost, Just want to acknowledge you for getting real with me in your voice message, and by extension, giving your, you know, by direct extension, giving your permission to use your name and your message, you know, just getting real with every man listening in. This is a profoundly generous gift to gift me and to all the guys listening in to this movement, because there's such a potency in learning from another man's direct experience vicariously. As always, guys, I set the invitation and the masculine challenge is to lean in, but like lean in and not be going, you know, Andy is not the subject of this episode. He is in one way, but you all are. I am. It's like make yourself the subject of it. Bring it home. All the reflections that are coming up, marinate your nervous system in the flow of the conversation, and be posing questions and reflecting on it as deeply as you can. That's where the transformation happens, and it will make this listening experience a real potent transformative experience for you. And that's what Be the Husband She Brags About is all about. Andy, beyond the acknowledgement for your incredible masculine courage to send this message in, I want to acknowledge you, like, for the intensity of what you're experiencing. You know, what I'm picking up in many senses, to touch base with you and your human experience with this is like, it's like the frustration that's there. You know, to me, it's absolute insanity. My version of that, and like guys listening in, the feminine can really be so challenging to be in the presence of. You know, to me, it's absolute insanity when you say that. I mean, I think of my first 12 years of marriage, Andy. Wow, fucking wow. You're just like, you're describing my autobiography, like that 12-year chapter or chapters. You're describing that. It seemed like absolute insanity so often for me on so many different topics. Just trying to relate with my beautiful queen. I now say by default, like my beautiful queen. It didn't seem so fucking beautiful back then, my perception of her. But I just really want to touch base with that, man. I get you. I understand that. And also, in the middle of, you know, of all of this, you know, your frustrations with, you know, maybe her not getting her act together and, you know, getting disciplined and doing stuff, making use of her time. What I'm hearing in the middle of it is like, I'm hearing you're working your arse off, you're doing stuff, you're really trying to fit things in. I get that I'm picking up there's quite a bit of pressure there in work life. I don't know if you're in entrepreneurship, whatever your job is, you know, there seems to be quite a lot on your plate. And a lot of frustration can come from there. So I really just want to slow down and make sure you're seen and heard and safe and acknowledged, Andy. And this is really important. I actually put this forward because, well, this is actually going to be part of the solution for you, Andy, and every guy listening in. Part of the solution is when relating with another human being, by default, practice making sure they feel seen and heard. And thus, when they feel seen and heard by you, they will feel safe. This is what I'm doing. I'm consciously competent in what I'm doing here. And I'm over communicating. So you start getting what this looks like in practice. So you build that foundation. Without a foundation of the human being in front of you. And of course, we're in this podcast, we're talking about you relating with your beautiful wives. But it works in all relationships. Co-worker, a kid, doesn't matter. Sibling, parent. Start practicing making sure they're seen and heard first. So, Andy, I literally, in a genuine, open-hearted way, I see you, man. I hear that there's this intense situation for you. There's the perceived insanity of it. And you're just, like, grinding it out. You're just like showing up, giving your best version, embody discipline yourself, and you know there's a hope there that sometimes at some point the penny will just drop with her. But I get the frustration there. That said, Andy, and that said to, you know, every guy listening in, you know, here at Be the Husband She Brags About, we, as part of the culture here, like the core part of the message is your number one most brutally effective way to marriage transformation is by assuming extreme ownership for your 100%. So, again, repetition is mastery. Marriage and all intimate relationships to break down into 100% responsibility one side, 100% responsibility the other side. It's not 50-50. I repeat this again, never go by 50-50, because 50-50 is never even. It's always going to tend that, yeah, from a 50-50 paradigm, it's, okay, well, I'm at 49%, she's at 51%. And it's never 49-51, it's more like you might tepidly sort of accept, yeah, well, I'm sort of 20% to blame here, but she's 80%. Yeah, there's something I could do, but she has all of this and she's so wrong. We tend to protect ourselves like that. This is like human behavioral psychology 101. So 50-50 just does not work. It's a paradigm that is not empowering. It's not kingly. And the approach here, as always, and there to make it safe, as you're listening in, I'm going to be honing in on 100% of what your responsibility is. I say this in all of these when powerful guys like yourself, Andy, send in, you know, a potent message like this. It might seem like I'm making assumptions. On some levels, I am. I don't have you in front of me. I don't get to clarify exactly what you're meaning. I don't get to ask questions about difference, you know, to pick it apart. It's not a coaching session. So, of course, it's inherently, there's going to be assumptions. However, what I say to you, Andy, and I say to, you know, guys listening in, it might seem like an assumption, but I sort of challenge you to make potential assumptions not an escape route for you. What I'm basing my answer on is seeing distinct patterns that show up in almost every single guy that speaks to me in deep one-on-one conversations, coaching conversations, and in deep men's work in men's circles, where I can clarify. And it's like when I do clarify, I see the patterns. So I mightn't have the opportunity to see clarity with you, but you can assume that I'm not actually making assumptions. It's pattern recognition that is so bloody common that, you know, the pattern is there. So anyway, I want this to be like, there again, I want this to be the most impactful journey for you, Andy, and for every guy listening in. So it's like, just lean in with that heroic humility of opening yourself up to seeing the greatest opportunities in your 100%. Not your woman's 100%. Of course, my wife is coaching whore. My wife does powerful coaching for women. You know, she'd be having whore ass fried. But hey, she's not the one that has sent in the message. This is like, this whole movement is about powerful men like yourself and every guy listening in learning to take our own 100% responsibility. The whole lot of this like could be categorized that it's an issue of masculine versus feminine. You know, it's like the masculine pole, masculine not being male, but it's like predominantly we will have a masculine core essence. Andy, I'm picking up from you that there's a natural masculine core part of you. You know, masculine energy is that disciplined energy, is that focus energy, is that get your ducks lined up in a row. You know, there's linear rationality behind it, there's organization, there's strategy. I'm hearing a lot of that. I imagine, Andy, like in your work endeavors, you know, you know, when you're working your arse off doing stuff and trying to fit stuff in, and imagine like you're quite strategic about the whole thing and you've a lot of stuff on. So it's a very masculine core sort of expression that you're speaking from. And your beautiful queen seems quite feminine you know, she's maybe not so organized, and she tends to, in your mind, waste time, but she, like, is not so structured and is not so scheduled and is not so seemingly organized and probably goes about, you know, designing her day on a whim of what she's feeling like in the moment. That's a very feminine expression, a very feminine, sacred way of going about life. It's moment to moment, you know, going with, you know, what you're feeling in the moment. You'll judge what you're going to do and what you're going to say from there. So I build that in at the beginning because, you know, there are differences. Now, one of the major issues is, and this is like in every single marriage conflict, there can be this at the core of it. There is this at the core of it. Is like from a male perspective, from the husband's perspective, is we're wanting sameness. What initially attracted us to our women in the first place, and Andy, touch base with yourself, like, you know, I don't have you there to clarify in front of you, but like, and every guy listening in, just drop back into your initial experiences with your beautiful women, you know, in the beginning when you started dating, you were attracted to them for the very first time, you know, you're putting on the whole good show back then, you know, you're in the courtship, you're shifting into, dropping into this idea, screw it, like, this is the woman for me, etc., etc. When you're in those early days, there's a lot of attraction going on. It's fucking beautiful, it's raw, it's instinctual, it's primal, it's conscious, it's everything in between. There's a beautiful, bubbling attraction, and that's what locks us in biologically, psychologically, spiritually with this woman, and it's fucking beautiful. But it doesn't last like that forever. But what's attractive in the beginning is the differences. You know, if you touch base with that, there's a different energy that she embodies that it's just we like it. It's like it lights us up. There's some part of us. What we fall in love is this experience of difference. It's like our women bring something different to our inner world experience that makes us feel alive. It softens our heart. It gets us out of our head. We feel connected. We feel connected with her. We might feel complete in certain ways. It's like we're just like, it's like our nervous systems get sort of marinated in this sort of beautiful, fuzzy feeling love. At least at moments, if not like completely swept away in the whole feeling of it. And it's a fucking beautiful human experience. And it's from there. And of course, hey, we can look back and it's like it's not everything was perfect. But the things that weren't so perfect, we sort of glossed over them because of that warm, fuzzy feeling. We were like, yeah, like she's the one. And we get down on a knee, you know, ask her to marry us. You did it whatever style. So we get married. And then, Then what happens is like a lot of our undealt with childhood stuff, our own perceptions from how we perceived our mom and her dad getting together, mom and stepdad, vice versa, whatever. You know, those predominant male and female modelers of intimacy and relationship and marriage and how we're to get on together. All of that undealt stuff tends to start seeping out, or it tends to come out like a burst fire hydrant. So it's so important to build that awareness in the beginning. What attracts us in the beginning is the differences, but what attracts us in the beginning ends up irritating us. It's her differences that start irritating us. And when we begin wanting sameness, and Andy, this is direct to you, but it's like I can pretty much put my hand on heart and go, I am speaking to every single guy listening in. This is, again, this is the patterns. What I have been humbled again and again is realizing just how many patterns are there. that on some levels, I personally was feeling I was so unique. It's like I had my unique problems and nobody could understand my problems. I've been humbled time and time and time again, from reading books to getting ferocious one-on-one coaching on my perspective as a man, as a husband, as a lover, to men's groups, etc., etc. I spoke about this before. I've been humbled to go, I'm not so fucking unique. And this, Andy, and every guy listening in, you're not so unique. This is the pattern. We fall in love, we love the difference, and then we get irritated progressively the further we go into marriage by the difference. It's not so energizing anymore. And we get caught up with work, we get caught up with parenting, we get caught up with the chores to do. Like, Andy, you're talking to the issue of so many guys. I have it on my website as one of the, like, the main pains, this, the overwhelming amount of tasks and responsibilities we end up having at work and parenting and maintaining the house and ticking off all the admin boxes of the running of a house, paying the bills, mortgages, taxes, insurances, fucking broken pipe. Oh shit, did I forget to call the plumber? Our wife goes, oh fuck, I thought you were meant to call the plumber, and now whatever. You know, every guy knows that, and it doesn't matter. Like, you can have tons of cash, little cash, all everything in between. These are issues for guys in marriage. It's the overwhelm. So in the overwhelm, very often not knowing how we can catch our breath and catch up with the whole situation, we start wanting sameness in our women. It's like energetically, psychologically, subconsciously, we start wanting our women to be like a man. Because if she'd behave like a man, and like this might seem provocative, but I actually mean it. It's like we start wanting our wives to show up in ways that we can understand them. And like Andy, yourself, myself, every guy listening in, by and large, to a certain point, like, we understand men a bit easier. You know, it's like, if you're in your sporting club, your business mastermind, if you're having a chat with guys over a couple of beers, whatever, there's a sort of a manly code of communication. And yeah, it's not brutally effective like a lot of times, but we can understand where a guy is coming from. We can understand that, like, you can challenge you guys. Oh man, here, like, you just have to knuckle down and get that shit done. Or, like, we'll speak direct with direct challenge. We want simplicity as men. The deepest masculine impulse is the search for freedom. The feminine core for women is seeking union in love, melting in together in total connected love. The masculine is an impulse to freedom from constraint, freedom from any chain that binds us to any one situation. Think about it like we celebrate sports superstars, we celebrate military victory because they burst through all obstacles to get to the euphoric, ecstatic, orgasmic bliss of the touchdown, of the try in rugby. If you're more in European states, I know there's lots of powerful guys from Australia listening in, you'll get the, like, a try in rugby. To get the military in films, you know, a guy goes beyond enemy lines type things, and it goes beyond the incredible obstacles of the external situation to gain his freedom and the freedom for his side. We get really turned on from a masculine inner perspective to this type of expression. It's freedom from irritation of outwardly obstacles. So in wanting the sameness, in wanting your woman to sort of, like, just take your lead, Andy, and, like, lean in on the powerful meditation practices you're doing, like, you're doing your exercise, you know, you're showing up and doing this stuff, you're showing up with embodied discipline, and, like, would she not just do the same? Because, like, those practices obviously are dropping you in, you're feeling benefits from them. I imagine like your reason for doing them is like, it helps ground you, it helps center you, like the meditation, the exercise is an amazing thing. It's like you, like it's a reset button for all the overwhelm that you have. And it would be like, could she not just do the fucking same? She'd feel the same benefits. But deep down, why we get irritated, and Andy, you're like, that irritation, that annoyance, that it's like absolute insanity to you. You're speaking for every man in the room. When we get irritated at the lack of discipline, so many guys experience this. But the irritation is, and this is really key to making a shift, a transformative shift in your situation. When we get irritated, guys, something is being triggered within us. An irritation at the lack of our women's discipline in, you know, in Andy's case, he's describing, you know, his beautiful woman's lack of discipline in using her time efficiently and effectively in a productive manner. And like the fact that she moans about it, there's a lot of triggered irritation. I can understand that. But why we as men get irritated and triggered emotionally is because we're not yet able, not yet being the key part of it, we're not yet able to be completely at one with our own overwhelm, with our own list of tasks and responsibilities and the checklist of all the things we've got to do during our day. We're not on top of that. We're not feeling a relaxed state of inner calm and a relaxed state of high productivity where we can, you know, come to 5 p.m., switch off our laptop, close the office door, and we're good. And during the whole day, we're fine. We haven't mastered that. And thus, when our wives, and by extension our kids, our life gives us, we'll keep it the subject topic, obviously, is on wives in this, when they, you know, don't show the discipline, and then they're complaining about not having enough time, but they don't, like in Andy's perception, you see, they're not using their time, or they're complaining that they're, you know, oh Jesus, I'm like, I'm so out of shape, I'm overweight, but you're there looking at them on a daily basis, and like they're eating too much crappy foods, and they're just not getting out the exercise like once every 2 weeks, and you know, and I know, and every man knows, is like, woman, like, you're never going to feel fit, and you're never going to be in shape if you don't, you know, buckle up and get disciplined. And in Andy's case, you know, she's always going to have issues with time. And why is she fucking moaning about time? She doesn't use it right. But why we get triggered and why we get irritated by this is that we have a lot of overwhelm, and it's unspoken, and it's like she's adding to more of our problems. And a deep yearning is, if she just show up and be disciplined, she wouldn't be a problem for me anymore. That's one part of it. And that's the part that drops us into what I call heart closure, where we get quite judgmental. But when we're judgmental, we get very hard. Our whole persona changes. I've spoken before, like Andy, in this, you know, when I hear you say, you know, at some point she'll just copy it, and you know, it's absolute insanity, and she's moaning about it a lot. Man, I get it. I really do get it. Again, I want you to feel seen and heard. I get the human experience. I get the frustration. You've a lot of shit to do, so she could and should just get on with it, but she's not. And here's the thing: it's like, you know, how's that working out for you? Your perspective. Your approach currently is not bringing about the change that you would desire the most. I want you, Andy, to listen to that. But by extension, I will say that to every guy listening in. And I will say this as a repeated reflection point, because this is the reflection point that brings heroic humility. It brings the ground of truth of where exactly you're at. How is that working out for you guys? How is your current approach working out for you? With getting the desired change in any behavior with your woman, but we're talking about, like, you know, a shift that she would get more discipline in whatever area, use of time, exercise, eating habits, social media habits, whatever. She'd just get more disciplined and more orderly in her way that she shows up. How is your current approach working? If you have any bit of a complaint about it, or there's a part of you that gets deeply frustrated, I'm just going to, like, call it in a black and white way. What that means is your current approach, the approach you've been using, you might have been using different approaches, but you have not yet got an approach that's effective. Okay? And you can live forevermore sort of blaming her and judging her and sort of going, oh, she just fucking complains and she does this and she does that. But that's denying that you have this astounding power of influence that you have not yet tapped into. Again, for 12 years, I remember there's so many things I was projecting and judging and deeply frustrated with my wife for. And I've seen it with so many guys. But it's not until you really drop in and see your power of influence. Again, it's your 100%. One key thing that I'm hearing here is, Andy, when I'm hearing you, like, I'm working my arse off and I'm trying to fit things in, and it's like dot, dot, dot. It's like what's coming is a she should. Like, if I was speaking with you and I got, like, to clarify and ask you questions and hear more, it's almost like it's loaded. There's a part of you that's like, she should just fucking use her time better. She should just stop complaining about not having enough time and just fucking get more intentional about what she wants to do. Stop doing 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. Like, just do 50 minutes and get her fucking exercise done, or do 20 minutes of meditation, or whatever the hell it is for her. She, like, you probably know things that possibly have worked down the years, Andy, and there's a part of you that thinks she should just, and fill in the gap. A big part here is entitlement. And this is a major one for all guys, Andy, but it's like, when we get into this, I'm doing all of this, and then she doesn't do anything. That's like we end up with this feeling of entitlement. Like, I have my woes, I have my struggles, but I've got my shit together and I get to work and I get to do all this stuff. And she should just, whatever you're saying she should, you're in that should mode. She should just, life would be easier. She should just, it'd be easier for her. It can even come from, like, a deep loving perspective, but she should. It's very unsafe for her emotionally. It's really important. You, no matter what, how hard your life is for you, and again, there can be a lot of victim mentality in that. Your life is hard. Well, if your life is so hard and there's so much intensity going on, well, then there's a whole life review to go. Because if it's that hard and there's that much struggle and you've so much to do, maybe what you're doing in your work is not so effective. Maybe what you're not, how you're dealing with your whole life is not so effective. And again, Andy, I want this to be safe for you. I want to bring all guys in. It's extreme ownership, guys. When you feel entitled and there's a should, she should just, it's like, what should you do? Where are you not taking extreme ownership in this? Eradicate the entitlement of she should and just bring it squarely back to yourself. The key thing in this is, and I want to magnify this, underline it, bring your entire, like, I'll emphasize it to, it's so important, is when you see your woman as an inconvenience, she will gift you magnified inconvenience. When you see her, hear her, and make her feel safe, she gifts you total convenience. I'm going to repeat that and just, like, marinate in it. For some of you, maybe for all of you, it's like, what the fuck does that mean? I'll repeat it twice. I'll deepen I'll clarify what I'm meaning with it, but it's like, I want you to hear this. Like, when you see your woman as inconvenience, she gives you magnified inconvenience. When you see her, hear her, and make her feel safe, she gives you total convenience in how she shows up. What I'm meaning here is, I would be as bold to say every guy, not just you, Andy, every guy listening in, on some way, shape or form, consciously or unconsciously, perceives his woman as being inconvenient in some way, shape or form. I can pretty much be guaranteed. I don't have to speak to you one-on-one, guys. Because when we have issues in marriage, a lot of it comes from, well, what she should do. Oh, for fuck's sake, like, she keeps giving me this shit. She keeps criticizing. She's always moaning. She complains she doesn't have time. Andy's situation. She doesn't have time. She's constantly saying she has no time, but I'm doing all of this, and look what she does with her time. Fucking nothing. Nothing productive, etc. There's a level of perceiving that she's inconvenient. That her complaints, her issues, her criticisms of you, or her criticisms of life, it's just inconvenient. How the fuck does she show up like that? She has become an inconvenience for you rather than something that is a beautiful experience. Remember, first couple of years, beautiful, the attraction phase, heart opened, wow, she's amazing. You get down, you feel so amazingly connected with her. It's like, yeah, you know, do you want to get married? You know, fuck yeah. All of that enthusiasm slowly but surely, or not so slowly but surely, leaves the scene. And when that enthusiasm and connection and heart-centeredness and soft, loving, open-heartedness, where you just look at her, you know, everything that your nervous system is feeling is communicating to her, that she feels so loved and seen by you, and all of the juicy, beautiful stuff that love brings in the human experience, that's not being felt anymore. Well, when that goes and you start perceiving her as an inconvenience, that's really, really hurtful for her. Because from her experience, in the beginning, she was probably feeling more seen by you. You were slowing down. You were totally present with her. You were probably hearing her more. Like when you ask a question, you know, we put our best foot forward in the beginning. It's natural. It's cool. We want to win the gal. We want to, you know, Prince Charming comes in, storms the highest tower, slays the dragon and wins the girl, wins the princess. Is it not true, guys? Is it not true, Andy? We put our best foot forward in the beginning. We see her, we look at her, we hold soft, loving gaze with her on a date when we're with her. We bring her the nice shit. We listen to her. We really listen because it's all about her. And she feels so seen and so heard. She's like, oh, wow, maybe this is the man for me. Wow, fucking wow. And then we ask her, like, will you marry me? Will you be with me for life, woman? You know? Let's do this together. She's like, yeah, fuck yeah. And you're like, fuck yeah. And then you have a party day. It's called a wedding day. And it's all fuck yeah. She's there thinking, he sees me. He hears me. I feel safe with him. He's the dude for me. He's my king. Then it stops. And that fucking hurts her. Because her deepest feminine needs are to feel seen, heard, and safe around you. And this is the bit where, you know, Andy and all guys listening in, it's like, your woman, if you want her to shift into her masculine, which is like to get more discipline, to set a vision, to set a goal, set a target, in using her time more productively, in whatever she's doing, in her diet, in her exercise regime, if she has a work or a business, would she just stop fucking flooding herself into all of this emotionality and get herself on the straight and narrow? Like, that's shifting into her masculine. Well, here's the thing. She intuitively, deep down, knows if she actually gives you what you want. You know, you're sort of getting, if she sort of, the penny drops in her and she's like, oh my man, he's always irritated when I'm not disciplined. And he's always irritated when I don't do meditation, or I don't do my running, or I don't do my exercise, or I don't fucking keep myself organized and don't keep my schedule, and I'm not always on time. Like he's always on time, black and white. I have a loose, you know, flowing relationship with time. I don't really give too much of a fuck about time. Very feminine. If she goes, okay, he gets really irritated about that, so I'll just shift into masculine. You've lost her, guys. Because here's the thing. The vast, like 100% of the time in all marriage issues, from a female perspective, they're not feeling seen. They're not feeling heard, truly heard. Not like, oh, honey, what's up? And like, blah, 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 blah. Like, you're not really listening, really, to what's and feeling into her emotional state beyond the words. Open-hearted, like listening with your entire body rather than just your two ears, you know, with a couple of neurons on the job. Your whole entire nervous system is locked into her. She's not feeling seen, she's not feeling heard, and as a result, she's not feeling safe. If she gives you what you want, which is like to go, you know, to start being more convenient, well, then she stops being a problem for you. Your attention drops even more from her. This is her biggest fear, and a lot of times it's true. I've seen it more times, guys, where, you know, the relationship is completely dead. And then I start asking questions and like, yeah, there's not so much drama in relationships at times. But it's like the dude is just saying, it's like they're not having sex anymore at all. And it's like, you know, how's your wife? It's like, oh, she's very active. Like, how's she happy in her life? And it's like, she's very happy in her life. She's a very full life. But she's feeling very empty in her married life and in her intimate life with him. And it's like, okay, well, what's in her full life? She's getting a lot of kicks out of, she goes off with the running coach like 3 days a week. She has the team. She has the gym. She's very disciplined. But she's filling up on all her feminine needs and feeling seen, heard, and feeling safe with other people. And actually, quite often, there's other men. It's her therapist that she's feeling seen and heard by. And, you know, in secret, probably falling in love with. She's feeling seen and heard by the running coach, by the fitness coach at the gym. And I don't want, like, to say this so you start getting anxious about, oh, fuck. Like, she's, Mark's saying she's falling in love with her. She's not falling in love, but it's like, she's, these, in so many situations, guys, the women stop being an inconvenience to their husband. They get their shit into order. But it's like the marriage suffers immeasurably as a result. Because why? They're like this island. They're moving around as an island. And they're connecting with their tribe at the gym. Their tribe of women online. Their like running coach, tennis coach. Quite often they'll find a man to bring them on a journey because a woman wants a man to lead her on a journey where she's feeling seen, heard, and he's the hero that they ride off into the sunset to have this experience. My wife, it irritated me for so long. She'd have these journeys in fantasy novels where the fucking protagonist male characters would bring the female protagonist on a journey, but it's like my wife went on the journey with him, energetically, psychologically. Here's the thing. And here's the thing, I'm speaking with you, Andy, but I'm speaking with every guy and myself included. Until your woman is feeling seen, heard, and safe by your consistent in every moment experience and interactions with her, she will resist giving you what you want because her needs are not being met. Again, when you see your woman as an inconvenience, she gives you magnified inconvenience. Why? Because there's a part of her consciously, and a lot of time it's subconsciously, yearning for her needs to be met. And she's wanting you. Not a running coach, not a therapist, not a bunch of people at the gym. You know, high-fiving her because she knocks out the best fucking personal record and whatever the fuck she's doing at CrossFit. Like, it's cool, it's meaningful and a human experience, but she's yearning you. I'm passionately, unapologetically, like, bring the full flame in this. She's yearning your love, Andy. And guys listening in, Like all your names, like I'm speaking Andy, but it's like I'm energetically, it's like I'm leaning. I'm I fucking laugh at myself here. I do this at like my desk. It's like if you actually had a video recording of me, I lean in, I like lean elbows. It's like I'm leaning out to you across the table, Andy, and every single one of you, and going, guys, if you get this, she's wanting to be seen, to be heard, to feel safe in your presence. She's yearning you to see her, to feel her, and to do whatever work is necessary in your nervous system to re-trigger that love for her, that attraction of her, that seeing her differences as a woman. She's so different to you. Her biology, her neurophysiology, her energetic spiritual essence is different. That you honor the differences and you find ways to re-honor, to re-find the attractiveness in that. And then, from there, funnily enough, she's like, oh, hey, Andy, honey, what's that meditation practice you've been doing? You seem, you've been doing it now for a few months, and like I see that you're actually pretty dropped in around me. I'm seeing like, oh, you've actually been really present around me. I've found that you've been more relaxed around me and around the kids. I don't know if you have kids any, but like a lot of times you guys listening in, you do have kids. You know, you've been more relaxed, you know, about pressures at work. You know, when you close the door, you're not bringing that shit into the evening. You're more here. That meditation really seems to be working. I'm curious, is that something I could do? This happens, guys, one-on-one coaching with me. Men's group work with me. I'm speaking to this, I didn't set the context at the beginning, but Andy and guys listening in, this answer I'm giving, it's like I'm giving it like I would be working with you, Andy, in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. As a once-off answer, yeah, it's actually really potent and you can take it really sincerely to heart and respond in your own style. This takes work. In Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, this is like the training of bringing this perceptual reality. Remember, perception, it happens so deep that we don't know it. It's a blind spot. We don't know we're projecting judgments. We think it's an absolute truth. Our perspective, our interpretation, the printout of our mind, what we're thinking is a truth. I mean, she should just fucking do whatever. But we don't realize that how we're perceiving our woman in the situation is like, that's where the root of the entire problem is. Because how we perceive then feeds how we think about the situation, how we're talking about the situation, and how we're taking action. These are our three potent, most sacred creative tools. How we're thinking about our woman, how we're talking to our woman, and how we're taking action around our woman and around our extended married life. When we line those up in a way that our woman feels seen, heard, and safe, you end up having a marriage that is fucking off the charts. Sex life off the charts. Her, the way she just nestles into you because she feels so safe. She wants your manly, strong, open-hearted embrace of her. Here's the question, like, when was the last time she experienced that manly, open arm, strong arm, fucking, you're just claiming her as your own? High chances, guys, and Andy, with how you're speaking to this, you know, just with that load, like that absolute insanity, that trigger, that frustration and irritation, man, and I get it, but without even asking you, send me a message back and go, fuck you, Mark. You know, I'm open to high flame feedback. You can say, fuck you and your assumptions. I fucking hug her like that all the time. But I'm pretty much confident that I won't be getting an email like that back, Andy. You know, when I ask you the question, like, when is the last time you hugged her in a way that her every single cell in her nervous system, in her body, her sexual center, felt safe and loved and claimed by you? Like the type of hug and the type of kiss, Andy, that it doesn't matter how you've been showing up thus far in your marriage, it doesn't matter how she's been showing up. In that hug and in that kiss, Andy, she fucking knows you love her. She knows she's safe with you. She knows, like, you're claiming her. You're stating in the most beautiful, imaginable way possible that, like, she's the woman for you. Without even having you in front of me, Andy. And, like, this can be a hard truth to take on, but I'd imagine it's been a long time that she's had such an embrace from you. This is the 100%, 100%, brother. And it's like, as I say, I welcome it. Send me the fucking email and go, you can go, Mark, you cunt, you fucking arrogant, assuming son of a bitch. You, like, I hug her like that all the time. I'm like, man, if you're hugging her like that all the time, you wouldn't be having this issue. And you wouldn't be so frustrated. I'm pretty much, again, pattern recognition. And knowing intimately I wasn't hugging my woman like that. I really wasn't. I wasn't showing up. She wasn't safe around me because I was highly irritated. I was deeply triggered. I was judging her because my judgments of her was trying to protect me from unchecked shame and a deep sense of inadequacy that my marriage wasn't showing up the way I wanted. My woman didn't seem to trust me or respect me. If I gave her feedback, she wouldn't listen to me. She wouldn't get her shit in order. But I wasn't meeting her needs. That's the underlying thing that's happening, guys. You'll find time and time and time again, I go back to the same thing. If you're not meeting her needs, she's going to give you, like, the four horses of the apocalypse types of, like, language directed towards you. Her, you know, physical, emotional behavior around you won't be nice. It just won't be, you won't be feeling connection if you're not meeting her needs. Of course, if this was an equivalent podcast for women, the exact same message would be for them. It'd be like, hey, if you're not meeting his needs, but they're different needs and there's a different approach. It's a completely different approach. But this is for you. You're listening in. You're a powerful man listening in. And you're a powerful, super, super uncommonly courageous man to have even sent this message in, knowing that, you know, I'd be bringing full flame to it. So high honoring, man. That's the courage, hey. I want to remind you, Andy, so you're safe along all of this journey. It's like, that's the courage that is necessary. But it's aiming the courage in a way that will bring about an effect that will support you, you know, transforming your marriage. The signs, as I was saying, like the hurting feminine, I've sort of mentioned, but like the hurting feminine will seek fullness. We seek emptiness in the masculine. The feminine seeks fullness. And all of those lack of discipline activities we see is a deep wanting and desiring to seek fullness in the moment. Lack of discipline with shopping, eating, activities, emotions, watching, gorging on food, gorging on Netflix, etc. When there's no discipline, there's deep feminine needs not being met. So, how do you bring about a deep transformation of this? Beyond the triggering, beyond all of these things, Andy and every single guy listening in is, we have the what the fuck method of masculine wife behavioral change. I typed this up. It's not a technical term. But like the what the fuck method is when our nervous system, spoken or unspoken, is sort of like, what the fuck? What the fuck is she doing that for? What the fuck is she? How the fuck can she even, like, not realize that she's just got to get her shit in order? User time. What the fuck? Why the fuck is she complaining about time? And she just repeatedly uses like crap. It's a very common response in her nervous systems, but again, it doesn't work. So if it doesn't work and never has worked, we need to get black and white with ourselves. Masculine is black and white. If it doesn't work, stop fucking doing it. Okay? But you got to get honest. You can keep with the blaming whore as a protection from ever looking at your own thinking, your own talking and your own taking action, your own creative tools in what's creating your married situation. Or you can praise her. And this can seem really challenging because maybe your dad, very often our dads criticize our mothers and our mothers criticize our dads, and it was all shitty. We never had a masculine role model embodying how to lavish continual every day, many times a day, praise onto a woman. And our inner child, our feminine needs, this is also part of it, Andy and all guys listening in, we mightn't. Actually, again, pattern recognition, high chances, Andy, and this goes to ground zero levels, but if you go back to childhood, like total uncensored praise for your feminine core, your needs to feel seen, to feel heard, to feel emotionally safe around your parents. I don't know a guy I've ever spoken with in deep one-on-one coaching or in men's circle that has ever had that really radically met by parents. It's no judgment of parents. It's no like criticism of them. It's just a basic fact. So it can be very challenging for us to gift high praise to our women when we didn't experience what that felt like. And that's where I come into a masculine challenge, guys. And this is where, you know, in heroic husbands, men's circles, I bring it to that because it's very important to get support for your nervous system in being able to show up to the flame living in the arena of marriage. It's no more than tons of CEOs in companies. They're fucking badass, but they have coaches, because no matter how badass they are, no matter what the track record of their incredible successes are, they realize, I need my nervous system, my mind, my psychology, my physiology needs direct support in being able to show up to this leadership position. Guys, you're all husbands. You're leaders. It's the most intensely challenging leadership position on the planet in modern day life is being a husband. We're taking the backlash of millennia of feminine wounding of women going back in history. We're taking that. The feminist movement. Like I've spoken this before, it's never been harder to be a husband. So support is not only necessary, but it's a beautiful thing. So within heroic husbands, men's circles, or one-on-one coaching, I'd be supporting and I'd be praising you. I'd be acknowledging you. I'd be working with you, Andy, like over the weeks, over the months, you and every single guy, in acknowledging you, in supporting your nervous system, getting really comfortable with, oh, I'm being praised, and you can relax into that. Because a lot of time we don't actually, we get an acknowledgement and praise and we deflect it. We're like, oh yeah, but whatever. Like, oh, nice jacket. Oh, it was just like a garden sale. It's the classic thing. Praise about, you know, our choice of fashion. We put it off. It's like, oh, you know, got it 50% off. It's like, what the fuck, man? 50% off doesn't mean shit. You look good in it. Just take the compliment. Take the acknowledgement. But we do the exact same with, you know, in beautiful things, our wives can praise us and we deflect it. And that hurts. And then they stop praising us and then we bitch about them not liking us anymore. But in the beginning, we weren't taking the praise. So I'd be working with you and your nervous system and mind in being able to receive praise and reconnect with how fucking beautiful and fulfilling and energizing it is from a first-hand experience to be praised. Be like, oh man, it's fucking beautiful. I remember I burst into tears one time when a guy called me out on my bullshit. He had praised me beautifully, acknowledged me really potently for some incredible work I was doing in my early coaching days. And he's like, man, I'm just after acknowledging you for like incredible stuff there. And you just started blabbering about something else. And when I slowed down and realized what the guy was saying, I was like, okay. I asked him, it's like, if I guarantee you, it's like, I'm not going to deflect, I'm not going to speak about anything else. It's like, can you please, his name is Jason, beautiful, beautiful guy from New Zealand. Beautiful memory of this coming up. I was like, Jason, can you please acknowledge me? And I promise, I commit, I won't deflect, I'll just receive it. Andy, he acknowledged me for like 3 or 4 minutes about the beautiful things he'd known about me. We were in a coaching group. It wasn't a men's circle at the time. I hadn't been introduced to the miraculous powers of men's work at that point. I bawled my eyes out. It's like my nervous system had not actually opened my heart to praise, to acknowledgement, for decades. And guys, this is so omnipresent. So I'm just saying this, that's how I'd be working with you one on one. That is deeply necessary, because it's very hard to gift to our wives what we can't gift to ourselves. You know, oh, fucking praise whore. Like, what's really happening? There can be kickback. She doesn't fucking praise me. So you're saying I need to praise whore? She doesn't praise me. A lot of times her praise for you in the beginning was there, and you just stopped receiving it, and you didn't realize you were cutting it off. We don't realize there's blind spots in blocking love coming towards us, blocking praise. I'd be working with you on that. That's necessary for every guy, because when you can fully open up to praise and receiving it, I love receiving acknowledgements now and praise. I did a praise practice in the men's group I co-lead just yesterday. It's fucking beautiful. We're all feeling like so full of love. It's fucking beautiful. From there, because you know you have your own tank full, it's really easy to praise. It's very difficult to praise somebody else, guys, when your tank is feeling quite empty on praise. Have you ever found that? It's like it feels like a dogfight. However, in this episode, Andy, I'm not actually working with you in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles or one-on-one coaching. So the challenge is, start praising yourself. I would say if you, like, you're doing this meditation and daily practice, Andy, I would advise you, I would challenge you to start doing a positive aspects list. First one for a week or two, do a daily journaling, brother, on positive aspects about yourself. This is self-praise. This is learning to ferociously love and accept yourself about being the amazing man that you are. And guys, every single man listening in, please, all of you, this, like, as a movement, but like to bring marriage transformation, there's nothing more potent than learning to praise yourself. Do a positive aspects list on why you're a fucking badass human being. And you'll find in the beginning, it actually can be quite challenging. But stick with it. And notice the little nuances, the little things that you do as a husband, as a man, as a brother, as a friend to others. Just the super cool things how you express yourself in the world, what you give people in your work, whatever. There's badass things about you. Start practicing. Start working that muscle like you do in the gym. Work the self-praise muscle. Self-praise is the highest praise. In Ireland, we say self. There's this bullshit saying self-praise is no praise. It's fucking bullshit. Just total bullshit. It doesn't work. Look at society. Self-praise is not arrogance. It's like it's a grounded, self-loving, self-accepting process. It's a deeply spiritual work. Guys, and Andy especially, like, work this. Self-praise. Positive aspects journaling list every day. Write 5 to 10 and get that as a daily practice. Then from there, Andy, you know, after a week or two of building that momentum where your nervous system is like, oh, I actually like, you know, I'm becoming open. I'm becoming, you're building a momentum in your nervous system, receiving your own praise. Then from there, strategically, with military type, like it's like a military campaign, Andy, like I'm trying to speak to that masculine core in you and all guys, bombard her. I don't normally use military type metaphors, or it's working today. Bombard her like a military campaign of appreciation. Appreciate, appreciate, appreciate. Where before you'd be thinking, oh, she's just fucking wasting time. Look at her there. Like reading a bullshit magazine. Like, look at her and go, hey, baby, I just love it when you take 5 minutes to yourself and you read like whatever magazine that just like drops you in. You look so relaxed there. You look totally lost in it. You look so at ease and relaxed and so beautiful. Actually, is that the light today is just beautifully shining on your hair. Whatever it is, she's sitting having a cup of tea, eating a couple of cookies, where your old mind was like, I'm not saying you're saying this, Andy, but other guys, like, where she's eating shit or she's not being disciplined with her diet. It's like, baby, when you just sit and fucking submerge into a cup of coffee and a cup of Bickies, I just wonder, like, I look over, you just seem so relaxed and so full and at ease with yourself. It's like you have this glow about you, man. And join her with a cup of tea. Meet her attachment needs. Share food together. Touch her on the thigh and kiss her and. Move energy together. Meet the attachment needs. Praise her, praise her, praise her, praise her. Praise her for what she does do. Don't stop criticizing her for what she's not doing. Guys, this is like if you listen into this and like go at it. Praise her for what she does do. Stop criticizing her for what she's not doing. And Andy, in the moments when she might do a 5 minute segment of something that you sort of think, hey, that's actually quite useful. Like, oh, she's like, I don't know, she's getting whatever her responsibilities around the house. You'll all have your own setup. I don't want to go into gendered sort of stereotype shit, but man, you seem to be doing a lot of work, Andy, like, and she's has all this time to herself. She might be have more free time to herself if she's like preparing the dinner for that evening, but she's doing a bit during the day. It's like, baby, that's just so impressive. I just want to praise you and acknowledge you. Hey, that's gonna make the evening like flow. You're gonna be more present, having it in order. Like the kids are gonna be more present with you, more relaxed as a result. That's a really beautiful thing that you're doing there. Praise her for what she's doing. Praise her for what she's doing, Andy. She'll expand more of that. And just stop criticizing her internally and externally for what she's not doing. She's going to feel seen and heard by you, and she's going to feel safer around you. And with military type directionality, man, you're a powerful man. You're doing your meditation, you're doing your exercise, you're doing a fuck ton at work, man. You're a badass. So with that same badass core, masculine core that you have, Andy, and every guy listening in, you all have that. You might struggle to know how to bring that badass masculine core and make it work in marriage. A lot of today is like, don't be trying to make her into a man. Allow her be a woman, allow her be a feminine goddess, and like get more strategic. Guys, this is a fundamental strategy. It has transformed my entire marriage. I was doing the polar opposite, Andy. I can see immediately and hear immediately as I read your words all these blind spots. Man, how do I do it? Man, my marriage was a fucking crash scene. It was fucking brutal. It was like a war zone of total putrid. I don't have words for it. It's like, I don't even want to go back describe it. It's like fucking horrible. Man, I was doing all of this. This is why I can see the patterns so clearly. The patterns are there. It's because you're human. You're showing up with great intentionality as a powerful man in your work, in your world, and you're doing your 10 out of 10 best intentionality intentions with your woman, but it's just not having the effect you want. Andy, and by every guy, get strategic. Do your positive aspects list for yourselves, guys. Every single man on this planet would benefit by doing that. Start cracking your heart open to start receiving praise. We did not get enough of it by society growing up. Catch, allow yourself the gift of catching up on time with that. Allow your nervous system become at home with self-praise, positive aspects. Do that as a long-term practice. Build the momentum. Start praising her for what she's doing. She is doing. Stop criticizing her for what she's not doing, and go at it with military style campaign intentionality. It's not about the battles, guys. It's about the long-term campaign. And marriage transformation is what we're about. Annie, that's quite an extensive answer to you, brother. As always, guys, I want to honour powerful men like Andy that have the courage to send the voice messages in. The invitation is in the podcast description. There's a voice message link. It's super simple. Right here, right now, if you're feeling inspiring, let me know what your number one struggle is in marriage, and I will personally go to great lengths to prepare a super potent, powerful, wisdom-fueled answer that will really support you guys. It's my expectation, Andy, that this supports you only in your willingness to get strategic and actually implement. That's the thing, but you've implemented with the message and how you're showing up in your business and your marriage with your meditation exercise and all your work stuff. You're badass, so implementation is not an issue for you. It's just what you're implementing is the only issue that makes you human. But now you've got a game plan, man. I absolutely trust and expect that your marriage will start turning around when you start implementing this, actually way sooner than you will imagine, brother. Sending you, Andy, lots of love. Thank you again for sending in this message and being the inspiration of this episode. Guys, powerful kingly brothers, heroic husbands around the planet, love you all with brotherly love and total acceptance and embrace. You're fucking legends. Checking out with why we do what we do here on a bi-weekly basis. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing, beautiful, kingly day. And before you go, kingly brothers, I'm so happy to let you know that Heroic Husbands Men's Circles waiting list is now live. Online meetings supporting you up level to hero husband status. Go from fearing your best will never be good enough to becoming the competent and confident husband she brags about. Save years of needless guesswork and confidence eroding disconnection. Click on the link in the podcast description to take your first simple step to becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Check it out now.